Talking Records Podcast, Talking Records Podcast, Talking Records Podcast. We talk about our favorite records, Talking Records Podcast. We're so glad you tuned in. Thank you all for listening. You showed up to the right place. Jed and his friends dive deep and analyze the records we have grown to love. We'll tell you how we found the band, then give you a track-by-track breakdown of all the songs. So grab your favorite beverage and pull up a seat. Today we'll look at another record in its entirety.
Hello, what's up everyone? My name is Jed and you're listening to Talking Records, a podcast with the singular goal of gathering up as much information as possible about great albums. If you're into knowing the backstories, the context, the people behind the scenes, and all those details, you've definitely come to the right place. Today, I'm joined by Nexgar's guitarist, Justin. How's it going, Justin?
Hey, what's going on?
Welcome to Talking Records.
Yeah, great to be here.
Good to have you. You know, before we get into our record choice, I wanted to ask you a little bit about Nexgar's. What have you guys been up to? I know you just did Fest.
Fest was awesome. Yeah, it was our first Fest. Yeah, it was a success. We played a little early in the day, but it was packed. We had a good crowd. Everybody responded well. We got to like hang out with a bunch of our buddies who we don't see all the time. So that was like probably the coolest part. We spent all 3 days down there, and we're definitely feeling it after the 3 days. We beat ourselves up. We probably took some years off our life.
It was worth it, right?
Yeah, it was nuts. But we came back alive. We made our plane by like 5 minutes on the way back.
Oh, wow.
And then I had to get home to go trick-or-treating with my kid. Like, so I had like an hour and a half rest. You know, I was like super hungover and bloated just walking around the neighborhood. So
it's like, fun. What are you supposed to be?
Yeah. My daughter was Belle from Beauty and the Beast, and I was the Beast. So I really, I was just this red-faced, hungover beast.
Yeah.
It was pretty
Dad,
hilarious.
You smell like the Beast.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. It was bad.
That's funny, man. That's
yeah,
really funny.
Besides that, we just got back from Fest and got like 3 shows planned for a while. And then we're starting to write and we're working on the next record. So.
Oh, great. And you just put one out last year, so.
Yeah. We released it last year, yeah. And then, but we had that recorded for like a year. And then the pandemic and like planning everything with the vinyl and all that shit was a little rough. So
threw everything off, definitely.
Yeah, so we're pumped to write some new shit. We got a new drummer, so we got like some new life. He's playing like a little faster again, you know, we're get him back to like some punk shit, but it's gonna get weird too, so we're stoked.
That's awesome. Well, I look forward to hearing it, Justin. Awesome. Definitely check out Nexgar's. All right, well, let's get into it. Today, Justin and I will be talking about the Bad Brains 1983 album Rock for Light. Rock for Light was released on April 15th, 1983 on Passport Records, and then re-released in 1991 on Caroline. More on that later. Daryl Jennifer plays bass, Gary Dr. No Miller plays guitar, Earl Hudson plays drums, and Earl's brother Paul H.R. Hudson sings. H.R. stands for Human Rights. This album was recorded in 3 days at Synchro Sound Studios in Boston, Massachusetts.
I just assumed it was recorded in New York.
Right? Or D.C. Although they were out of D.C. at this point, yeah. The Cars frontman and producer Rick Ocasek produced the album. Ocasek had the band's cassette in his tour bus, which he used to get fired up before shows. When the Bad Brains came through Boston, he invited them into the studio to do some recording. According to HR and Kerrang! Magazine, somehow he had heard about us in Arizona. At first, he kind of caught us off guard because he was this tall white guy in a pop band wanting to produce us. But he and Daryl got together and talked, and he had convinced him that he really wanted to work with us. And it was actually really interesting and exciting to work with someone like that from outside the punk scene. He got us into a studio and just said, you go ahead and play what you play. And we can play any kind of sound. So we said, free up, be free. And that's how it started with Rick. According to Daryl Jennifer, in an interview on Brooklyn Vegan, when we met Rick, we didn't have any gear or nothing. So he gave us an amp, a boogie amp, which is real expensive. He came down to our show. It felt like, for us, someone that was odd. Someone that, to me personally, I wouldn't dig because I was a punk. A punk don't like new wave. For the recordings, Ocasek was pretty hands-off, allowing the band to record the very things that attracted him to the band in the first place. He wasn't going to tell them to change anything. According to Daryl, he mostly just kept the band moving and not waste time. So, pretty much letting them do what they do, you know?
That explains the 3 days, right?
Yeah. Just blasting it out, recording at warp speed, you know, probably taking the first couple takes. I imagine they did it live, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%. So, yeah, I didn't know he had a studio in Boston. Like, didn't he do the Bad Religion record in New York?
Yeah, I think so. At Electric?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Oh, so that's sick. Oh, that's cool. So,
yeah. And I think it's funny that he was basically just there to kind of like keep them in line and like keep them going, keep them moving, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, probably their, one of their best sounding records, right? Like that and I Against I are the best sounding Bad Brains records. So
yeah. Sonic quality. Yeah. All right, one last thing I wanted to mention. When Caroline Records picked up the album, Ocasek and bassist Daryl Jennifer remixed the album. And Justin, you and I were talking a little bit about this. They added some tracks, kind of changed the track order. And on most tracks, and this was the most jarring thing to me, sped up the master, which resulted in raising of the pitch by one half step.
Yeah, and it's nuts because I learned all those songs on guitar from the remastered version. So like, yeah. I when I figured out all those songs, like some of them probably didn't like make sense, like the beginning of like At the Movies, where it's got like those chords in the beginning. Like that's probably so much easier to play if it's like there's probably open strings there, but instead like I just had to like spread my fingers and be like, oh no, these are the notes. Meanwhile, they weren't the real notes.
They're in there somewhere.
Yeah. But I didn't know that until later. So yeah, I listened to that album for probably like 15 years thinking like, oh no, that's the record. The remastered one. That was like the one I picked up. And then, yeah, I heard about, you know, the original. And then, I got a copy of it, actually. I got this original right here.
Oh, nice. He's holding up the vinyl for you playing at home.
Yeah. It's got these, like, fingerprints on it. That's, like, somebody's fingerprints on the cover. And it's also on, like, the inner sleeve. I don't know if somebody like just got arrested before they bought this, or like
someone with inky fingers.
I don't know, but it's pretty sick. I always noticed too that like because there's like a lot of re-recorded songs that like the pitch was different. Yeah, it's like I said, I noticed the speed and I thought it was like the fastest thing ever. And I mean, it's still fast, you know, with the original speed, but you make it even faster.
I know, it was fast as it was, and they made it faster.
And that happened to, I think, Strung Out, Suburban Teenage, Wasteland Blues. With
that's the rumor, yeah.
You see, like, I think, like, Jordan always said, like, no, it was that fast. And then, like, Jake's like, no, it definitely wasn't that because the songs are a half step up.
Right.
So, you know, so, yeah, I mean.
It's funny because you had heard the sped up versions first and then went back to the you know, the non-sped up. I don't want to say slower because it's not slower, but I was the reverse. I had heard the slower versions. And then when I was talking to you and I threw this on Spotify to prep for this episode, I was like, what the hell is wrong with this? It was so jarring to me that it was like so fast and so high pitched. I was like, oh my God, HR sounds terrible.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's pretty nuts. I dig the sequencing more on the remaster.
Okay.
Like Big Takeover, that should be the first song.
Yeah, I agree with that one. So we'll talk a little bit about the track order in just a minute. But yeah, since we're talking about the record and getting into the record, Justin, I just want to ask you, how did you get into this band? How did you find this record?
Like, a lot of my friends were older and they grew up like with the Bad Brains, and I'm sure like they mentioned it and like I heard stuff. You know, a lot of bands do covers, and it wasn't Sublime, but it was 88 Fingers Louie did FVK on Back on the Streets.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, and I heard that. I was really into 88 Fingers Louie, and they do like awesome covers. Like they do like Gorilla Biscuits, but I knew Gorilla Biscuits before I heard 88 Fingers Louie. But yeah, that song FVK was on there, and I was like, oh, this is sick. And then like when I went to finally go pick up a Bad Brains record, I was like, all right, I want the one with FVK on it, and I got that one. And then it's funny, years later, I was at a Rise Against show, and the bass player who was in 88 Fingers Louie, I snuck backstage at this Rise Against show, and I was wearing this Eye Against Eye shirt. It was like from high school, and I like wore it to like art class and had like paint on it. It looked fucking sick. It was like faded, it had paint on it. And the bass player Joe was like, dude, that shirt's sick. He's like, let me get it. And I was like
give it to me.
Yeah. And I was like, all right. I was like, let's go to the merch table and we'll swap shirts. So he gave me a Rise Against shirt. I gave him my Bad Brains shirt.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. That's a good story.
Like a full circle. But yeah, like once I heard it, I was full in. And I fully like would not be the guitar player I am today without this record, 100%. Just my whole style, the way I play, like that's him, like one of the biggest.
To be able to keep up with him and get those fingers moving that fast.
Oh yeah, hell yeah, yeah. Even like that shreddy can do that style and like the way the chords are pronounced and stuff like that. It's all huge.
Yeah, great guitar player. You know, he got his background in jazz and everything. So there's some really interesting stuff. I mean, when you can hear it, I mean, it's going by so fast. You kind of have to really listen to what he's doing. But
yeah, hell yeah.
It is awesome. You mentioned 88 Fingers Louie and you mentioned Back on the Streets. Can we just talk about that bass tone for a second?
Oh, hell yeah. Record? Yeah. All right. And he was, you know, I'm not a bass player, but like that drew me in too. You know, like the 88 Fingers Louie, like bass tone and, you know, and you could tell like he got that from being like a huge Bad Brains fucking fan.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. It ties in. Oh, that bass tone is just amazing. I could just listen to that all day.
Oh, hell yeah.
All right. So, you know, I have a similar story, but maybe a little different. I was, you know, getting into punk rock in the mid 90s through Bad Religion and the Fat and Epitaph Comps, you know, Green Day, all those bands. And being the kind of person that I am, I naturally wanted to trace all this music back, you know, as far as I could go. And that's where I learned, you know, I read that Bad Religion guitarist Brian Baker had been in Minor Threat. So I went and checked out Minor Threat. You know, I'd read that he'd been in Dag Nasty. So I checked out Dag Nasty. And, you know, checking out all those bands, it leads you to other bands. You know, I realized that Henry Rollins had been in Black Flag and State of Alert. You know, I just thought he was the guy on TV yelling and putting people in their place, but oh, he was in these bands. And you know, you can't look into those early DC hardcore and punk bands without bumping into Bad Brains a dozen times. You know, they're just everywhere, and all the bands cite them as influence or talk about, you know, seeing Bad Brains live and just like being thrown by their amazing live show, HR doing backflips on stage and all that stuff. So I checked them out and my goodness, I was impressed. One of my buddies put Black Dots in the band's first record, which I guess is just called Yellow Tape.
Yeah. Self-titled. The Roar Tape. Yeah.
Yeah. Put those on a tape for me. And again, I was just blown away. I listened to those tapes so many times. So when I picked up Rock for Life, I noticed they had a lot of the same songs on it. So it was really cool to kind of hear the genesis of those songs go from like Black Dots to their, you know, the Yellow Tape, which I guess is their first album, and then on to this, you know, Rick Ocasek produced, you know, debut album, really.
Yeah.
It was kind of neat to see that.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of bands probably did that back then, where they were just like constantly like re-recording the songs because they sounded like shit in the beginning. So it's just like,
yeah.
But there's like the magic to that sounding like shit. Like, you know, right. they probably heard it and they were like, oh, this sounds awful. But then you get like the people that like got that tape when that came out and they're like, no, this was the sound. So like,
this is the only sound. Yeah.
yeah, exactly. But I mean, yeah, God, I wish like, you know, somebody told me like my earlier band's demos just sounded like shit when we're recording them, you know? Yeah. No, that's actually recorded right. Instead, it was just like some guy that you paid money and he was just like, no, yeah. It's fine. It'll sound like shit and you pay me money anyway. But yeah, Black Dots was huge too. Like there's like hardly any distortion on that guitar in Black Dots.
I know. Yeah. I actually love the sound of that just because to me, it sounds like something like my buddies and I could have recorded. Like it's the same quality. So when I listen to it, it's like, it reminds me of those like basement days.
Yeah.
Of like demoing songs on like a boombox.
Yeah. We call them the Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Because they look like the little trap.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Justin, are you ready to dive into these tracks?
Yeah. Let's do it.
I feel like we're going to have like a lot to say about certain songs and other songs we'll probably zip through really quickly. I mean, there's only so much you can say about a 30-second song that just repeats the same phrases over and over again, but we'll do our best.
Yeah.
And for the sake of this, I'm actually following the original track list, so we can kind of discuss that a little bit as we go.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right, so I've got Coptic Times up first. From that opening A flat forward, this is just a wild ride. The band shout, these are Coptic Times. So, what are Coptic Times?
Oh, Jesus. I mean, I cannot speak to this album at all lyrically. I don't think this album like grabs me at all like lyrically. I'm just like, I mean, yeah, because they're singing about like a lot of religion and stuff like that. Like,
yeah.
And just like, oh, I don't identify with that. But like, it's so like frantic. And I think in general, I think the vocals are very haunting, like very like scary and ghostly.
There's a track later on in the record that I totally agree with that. And I'll mention that when we get to it. But
yeah. Yeah. But like this song, you know, it like comes in with the like the big huge fucking gangs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
which is just awesome. I don't know, what do you think Coptic Times are?
Well, I tried looking into it a little bit because I didn't know these songs were about anything really, because for years and years and years listening to this record, all I heard was yeah, you know. So to me it's like I never paid attention to the lyrics. Doing this podcast was my first foray into learning about this stuff, and I learned a lot. So here we go. Cops are a Christian etho-religious group indigenous to North Africa who have primarily inhabited the area of modern Egypt and Sudan. HR sings, it seems that all through life, one fact prevails, that the righteous all live on. So it's a song about faith and living a life devoted to what you believe in. He's choosing to do right by his God and live a life of truth. According to Jason Thompson on his music blog, they unapologetically reference scripture in a way not to disdain religion, but to express sincere conviction, an unheard of innovation in a subculture that remains suspicious of anything remotely authoritarian and mainstream. American Christianity. So here was Bad Brains, you know?
Yeah, I dig that. And that's like that's a great way of looking at it. When you're just like, okay, they're speaking about religion, but it's just like faith in what we're doing. And
yeah,
that's pretty awesome.
It's got some pretty shredding guitar work in there.
Yeah, that riff is sick. But they do like, he does like these squeals. I don't know if they're like, I think they're overdubs where he's just like, wah, wah, wah. And yeah, those squeals, that's definitely like something I ripped off like a million times. Yeah, this song is a good opening track. Like, and it's got that like sick like little bass interlude. And then it goes back in with the drums. That's like a sick part. And just back into the squealing guitars. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, this song wasn't on Yellow Tape, so I remember hearing this one and being like, "Have they gone metal?" Which eventually they kind of did.
Yeah, 100%.
All right, the next song is Attitude. A declaration of a commitment to positive mental attitude. In an article I read by John Kirby and found on Wax Poetics, when we first came out, punk was kind of some vulgar shit, recalls Jennifer. We started kicking PMA in our music, and the message was different than the regular punk rock. You know, a punk rocker can write a song about hate. I hate my mom or some shit, you know? We wasn't on no shit like that. Some kids who wanted to see some regular shit saw us, and every kid's heart and mind was opened. It's like you're just going to see some regular reggae music, and Bob Marley is playing. You might walk away from that and go, damn, that's some consciousness in this music. When we would play, you see, I got that PMA, and there was a whole mode of consciousness that was coming through it. So kind of a nice description of that vibe, you know, that attitude, if you will.
Yeah,
they really
think,
committed themselves to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this was like their mantra, you know. This was was the whole shit. And then, you know, John Joseph from Cro-Mags, you know, he always speaks hard on it. And Toby from H2O, they're all about the PMA. And I'm sure a lot of bands do, even like probably Shelter, Christian stuff. But yeah, it's awesome. And it's, again, like it's, you talk about all this like negative punk stuff, you know, like fuck this, fuck that. And then it's like, no, we're actually like, we don't care. Like we got like good attitude. You know?
Yeah.
Meanwhile, this dude's just like screaming it in your face. Like, he's like, oh yeah, we're just positive. They're like these reggae dudes and they're just fucking screaming it.
And it's funny because like people are crashing into them on stage and diving off the stage and he's doing flips and it just looks like a war zone out there. And you realize that what it looks like is not what it is. It's a positive message, but it looks like they're like fighting with each other. You know, it's crazy.
Oh yeah. And and this one just like kicks in too, like the way it starts, it's just like bang, like
yeah, pow. Yeah.
And I think this is track two on both of the versions.
Mm-hmm. And this is a classic Bad Brains tune.
I think it's only like a minute long or like Oh, you know what? One thing I did notice, right, about a lot of these songs. This one has a chorus, but like they don't do like verse, chorus, verse. They're just like, you know, it's always like two parts and then they like go like back and forth and stuff like that. But this, and then the outro on this song is just same thing.
Definitely one of my favorite songs.
Hell yeah.
The next song is We Will Not. This is like an early example to me of bands writing great crowd anthems. You know, this song.
Absolutely.
I can just picture like a whole crowd singing back, "We will not do what they want or do what they say." You know, just like shouting that back to the band.
Oh, hell yeah.
I could never really hear the words to the rest of the song, but I always got that part.
The chords again on these, he like, he slices. Like I call it slicing. You hear the low E through the high E, like when he plays these chords. So it's like the like gring, and I call him like slicing. Like it's just like fucking, it's piercing. And that's definitely something I riffed off through the years. Just playing those like full bar chords, hearing the whole thing instead of just like playing the power chord. Like, and that's probably like from like the reggae and jazz influence. You know, playing those big big chords and stuff like that.
Letting all the strings ring and even probably grabbing some strange chords that you can't even really decipher just because of all the echo and distortion. But
yeah, and then this isn't like another like huge thing like Bad Brains always do is they have like the best breakdowns and all their breakdowns go into solos.
Yeah.
Like, so like there's so many examples where they like just they have the best breakdowns and then into solos. And it's like I really wish like younger kids the younger kids that don't listen to like old hardcore, if they like were to put this record on and like heard that shit, be like that's the shit. You know what I mean? It's like that's where like all that beatdown shit like came from.
Mm-hmm. And like music that you absolutely cannot stand still or sit still and listen to. You have to move.
It's funny. I listen to a lot of bands now. Like a lot of my buddies are into like newer hardcore and there's like so many breakdowns in these songs. And I'm like, you got to build up to break down, you know, instead of just the whole song being like a breakdown. It's like, no, you got to build up to break down. And that's like, you listen to these songs, they're super fast. And then like, they just go warp speed until it finally like just like crashes and then they like fucking just beat you in the head at the end.
Yeah, it's awesome. All right, let's move into Sailing On. This was definitely an early favorite of mine when I got that tape, the early recordings. I love this song. It's just got a great sing-along. I love the falsetto backing vocals too. The ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's almost like a soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wrote down soulful backups. Yeah, this is another one. It comes like straight in. Like the vocals start like less than a second after
the
song kicks in. Which, like, when I first heard, you know, I was like, wow.
Just goes right into it. And it's a song about moving on from a relationship. I trust you, you used me, and now my heart's all torn apart. The song is about never giving up, admitting that life is tough. And before you know it, it's gone. HR told Kerrang! Magazine, I was showing that a conflict was going on. It was about the back and forth between a man and a woman. The woman would always tell him not to go because she changed her mind. But he knew it was time for him to sail on.
That's sick. That's awesome. I never knew it was about. I mean, I guess I did, but think about like Bad Brains writing like songs about heartbreak.
Yeah, I know. You wouldn't expect it.
But that's like the cool thing about this record is, you know, they're speaking about like positive stuff and like heartbreak and like all the things you wouldn't expect from this music.
Right. And like we said earlier, I never really paid attention to the lyrics. I never knew them. I could never really hear them. I could never decipher what was being said. So preparing for this actually really made me look at them and realize that there's a lot going on in these songs that I just never even thought about.
Yeah. And that's like a cool thing about like a lot of bands that people probably don't get. It's like if you actually do sit down and read the lyrics, you appreciate a band so much more.
Yeah,
you know, like especially like punk rock where people just like take it for granted that it's, you know, three chords or whatever it is. It's like, well, you really like understood how they put these words together and like make it all work. It's pretty insane, especially like the fucking like how fast he sings on like some of these songs. It's insane.
Sometimes I'm trying to follow along and he's already down to the next line and my eyes are still, I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't even keep up.
I used to like try and cover these songs like when I was like a kid and I was like, this ain't gonna work.
Not happening. Reading the lyrics for me always helps me learn a song faster. Like if I want to sing along in the car, like if I've already read it, I can get to it quicker, but I think that's probably true for everybody, but yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree.
All right, the next song, Rally Around Jah Throne.
Yeah,
I always loved the vocal acrobatics that HR does to start the song. It's kind of got like a funky rhythm to it, you know, before going into reggae.
It's definitely like those wild vocals, and he does like those squeals. I think that's cool. This is like the first reggae song on the record.
Right. Yeah.
Because of that intro.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then it just goes into this like steady, like a standard reggae song throughout.
Right. And it's amazing that they were so good at playing these reggae songs. Like, you wouldn't think that a band that was just like crashing through their songs at a million miles per hour would be able to pull off such great reggae tunes. But this one and a few others on this record that we'll mention are just really good reggae tunes.
Oh yeah, yeah. They're not like like a punk band that plays like mediocre reggae.
Yeah.
They play like very, very good reggae. It's insane actually how good it is. So
Jah being the Rastafarian name of God, finding happiness in faith. In this song, Mount Zion is mentioned. It is a state of freedom from the cultural, political, economic, and social dominance of the West, known to the Rastafari as Babylon. And so Babylon was actually mentioned earlier in We Will Not. So you get these reoccurring themes. He talks about Babylon in that song as well.
Yeah, and they have a song called Leaving Babylon too, right?
Yes. Yes.
That might have been on the cassette. And yeah, there's fucking Destroy Babylon. It's on this record, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to Right Brigade.
This is probably my favorite track.
Yeah, I like this song a lot.
It starts out like almost like not as like an insult, but it's like almost like a pop punk riff.
Yeah.
It's like, and then it just fucking like rashes in.
Yeah, I never had a hard time figuring out how to play these songs. It was the actual playing of the songs that was always the challenge.
Again, like with the breakdowns, this is like the like best breakdown ever. And again, like breakdown into a solo.
That was like their formula. But in a way, though, they didn't really have a formula. But if they were going to have one, it's like you said before, the breakdown into the solo and just like the crazy in the solo that like is, you
yeah,
know.
And there's also like a few different styles of solos on this record, too. Like some are more melodic than others, but yeah, they're all kind of like frantic. And
frantic is a great word to describe them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Like a little more precision than like Black Flag.
Yeah, Greg plays those weird solos that like like is that a mistake? No, he meant to do that. Okay.
Yeah, but it's really like how I learned how to solo when I was younger. It's just like you just play really fast and just go up and down the neck.
I just tell people because I'm terrible at soloing that I meant to do that. Like, yeah, man. Yeah, man. I meant to do that. I threw that in there. It's a jazz solo. Yeah, that was the wrong key, Dion. Yeah, no. It was good. I prescribed to the Greg Ginn School of Guitar Solo Playing.
Yeah.
Okay. But anyway, bringing it back to this song, Right Brigade is, I don't know, maybe a boast that HR is always right. But I think it's more of a focus on choosing the right path. He notices the things people do around him and, you know, where the faults lie. But he's confident that he's on the right path. So no matter what's going on, you know, if he keeps moving forward, if he stays on this path, he'll be all right. And it definitely goes hand in hand with, you know, a lot of these other songs on the record that really promote positivity and strength, you know, and willing good things to happen by force, you know, focusing on bright side of things, willing it to happen, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's really cool. I like the line, "All there is to perceive is what I want, and I know how to get it. But the funny thing about you is you remember to leave it behind."
Hell yeah.
And I sat thinking about that one forever.
That guy, he was on point back in the day, I gotta say.
Let's take a look at Fearless Vampire Killers. This This is another good one. HR builds his lyrics around Karl Marx's infamous comparison of capitalism to vampirism. In the book, Marx writes, "Capital is dead labor, which, vampire-like, lives only by sucking living labor and lives the more labor it sucks." I think that's pretty funny.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think the music kind of matches like the lyrics in the song.
Absolutely.
Like
there's a tone, like, yeah.
Yeah, that opening riff, it sounds like a fucking like a fearless vampire killer. Like it's pretty metal, I gotta say.
Yeah, yeah. And just, a lot of metal, little metal twinges on this thing.
Yeah.
You could see where they were going.
Well, it probably had something to do with the tone of the guitar as well. Yeah. Like he probably definitely had like a lot. He definitely did have, he had more gain like on his guitar than like ever before. So he probably like made those squeals and he's like, oh shit. All right. Yeah. I'm going to do that next.
That's cool.
I don't know what he was playing on this. That's something I should have looked into, like what they used on this record, but I think at the time he was using like one of those BC Riches.
Mm.
The one that like Eric Melvin played like back in the day. I think Tom from Bigwig plays one too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Now I'm like running through my Rolodex of who plays what. But yeah, it'd be interesting to know what he was playing on this thing.
Definitely way more tone. I mean, more gain in the tone.
The next song is Riot Squad. This one we were talking about, like that, you know, in Vampire Killer, is that like mysterious tone. This one uses a lot of minor notes to create this like very ominous feeling as the song ramps up. That always caught me. It was like,
oh yeah, that, this one starts with those like stops, right? It's like jun, jun.
Yeah, and then when he sings, he has this very guttural vocal delivery, which is very different from like the high pitched kind of yelping that he does.
Yeah. There's a huge range on this record between the vocals. And I think I wrote haunting vocals on this one too. Yeah.
Nice. I guess they had to do that because there's not really much to it lyrically. I mean, they can't control this angry mob. They'll have to call the riot squad. You know, it's just kind of, it's repetitious, but it's just got that great energy and all this really interesting like sonic stuff happening with the minor notes and the vocal delivery. And
absolutely. And then it's got the gang vocals or the drums.
Mm-hmm.
Where that was probably fucking huge. Like when they were playing that live, and just, they do a lot of drum breaks on this record too. Like when they like for transitions and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, good way. And when he does like a lot of the drum fills, you hear like a noise from the guitar too.
Yeah, he's a phenomenal drummer. I mean, I've read and watched interviews with drummers who always talk about him. Dave Grohl talks about how Smells Like Teen Spirit, that opening kapuku kapuku, actually comes from a Bad Brain song.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool. I want to throw in there real quick, though, for a 2-minute song, there's a lot of lead guitar in this song.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last 40 seconds is a solo, and then there's some lead at the beginning. I mean, maybe it's not a lot, but for a 2-minute song, it feels like there's a lot of guitar, a lot of lead in here.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote Blazing Solo.
The Meek Shall Inherit the Earth is the next song. This is another great reggae track. It's a call for peace and harmony, and I love throwing this one on. It's got a really good groove to it.
Oh yeah, this is like the Ghost backups. Is this like,
yes,
yeah, this is probably it. I like the haunting Yeah, absolutely. When he talks about like Ja, but it's like 3 minutes and something, but like when he like screams Ja, it gets like really aggressive. And
yeah, which is cool in a reggae tune. You don't really
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's got bite.
Why must the Rasta live this way? The Creator has shown us a better way. So why must I and I fight each other? With unity and love for your brother, there's always a better way. So there's that positive thinking again, that harmony, that love, that call for let's come together and focus on what's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is the last song of the first set.
Yeah, yep.
So it's cool that they, you know, that they're like, all right, you know, you hang out to this, and then you flip the side.
You flip the record, and you've got Joshua's song, which is just a 30-second blast. I love this song.
Yeah, it's a banger. It's something I've always wanted to cover too. Just like, but it's 30 seconds, but it's probably like the hardest 30-second song.
Yeah, it's just an onslaught. I love it. With revolution in the air and people changing everywhere, a step forward now. No need to hide. We can't lose with Ja on our side. Assuming this is a nod to the Bible, Joshua and the Israelites, conquest of Jericho. I think that's who Joshua is in this song, although I can't be certain. I'm just guessing based on the religious tones of this record. But anyway, Joshua is the successor to Moses. And though I've never read the Bible, I know it's full of really exciting stories and uplifting things. So,
yeah, people love that thing.
People love it. They get a lot of inspiration from it. So Bad Brains taking a lot of stuff from there and, you know, promoting that positive message. I like when people use their faith to promote positivity and not shutting people's lifestyles down and telling people they can't do certain things because it doesn't line up with their beliefs. You know, I think if you're going to have faith, let's use it for positive growth.
yeah, exactly. A lot of people just, you know, they take the parts that they like and they're like, oh, that's I'm going to use that to my narrative.
Yes. All right, I want to jump into Band in DC. Love this song. The band wrote this classic in response to the many local DC rock clubs that wouldn't let them set foot on stage. Bad Brain shows were pretty well known for being wild, teetering on the edge of violent and destructive. Ignoring, of course, the fact that Bad Brain stood for nonviolence and PMA, like we mentioned earlier, crowds just seized upon like the loud music. You know, it was fast, it was crazy. It's like they just went nuts. And you know, it wasn't any worse than shows by other DC bands like Teen Idols or the Untouchables. Those bands were not banned. I also read though that supposedly HR would bring like large groups of people through the door and, you know, not pay or whatever. He had like a big entourage of friends and people, and the clubs just said enough is enough, and they wouldn't let them play Band in DC.
Yeah, and then they moved to New York and got huge.
Went to New York. They didn't want to play basements and rec centers anymore. They went off to New York, and yeah, the rest, as they say, is history. But it's important to note, though, that the band didn't last very long. Bad Brains played in D.C. many times afterwards. So, you know, the lore has kind of grown bigger than the actual truth.
Yeah, this song is cool. What is it? It's almost like the same chord progression, but it just keeps getting higher and higher. Like, so they just do key change after key change until it just goes into like a monster breakdown, which goes into a solo.
Great song. Definitely one of my favorites. Top five on this record. Moving into the next song, How Low Can a Punk Get? Yeah. It's a great song. It's so fast, but what the hell is this song even about?
it's cool chord progression too. It's not like it's not your standard chord progression. It's a little off, but like in a good way. And yeah, the vocals on this, I mean, are anybody who like talks about like Bad Brains vocals, they talk about this song and the way he just like flips out at the end. It's pretty nuts. Like, and only like HR could do this justice. Like, I've heard people do like covers and stuff, and I'm like, all right, but
can't pull it off.
This, yeah, nobody could imitate that or even do their own thing.
Big takeover. This one starts in with that kick drum building up the tension, and then the guitar comes like kind of dropping in a little bit. Like, I just love that intro. You know, it's like, something's coming. You know something's coming. Another favorite track of mine. This is a great song. Could, you know, potentially be the album opener. This or Coptic Times. I probably pick this one, like you said. But yeah, just a great high energy song.
Yeah, and if you watch that Bad Brains like 82 at CB's, they start with this, and like to the kick drum, like people are already like just like
they're like crouching and like
there's like walking this, around like there's this big guy like with like a mohawk. He looks like so mean, and he's like just marching on stage. And if you watch like, I think they like interview him like, later, like if you have the DVD, and he's just like this very polite like English guy, but you but you see him on stage, and he's just like this big mean guy like tearing it up.
That's funny.
But this is like those slicing chords again, like the bar chords, and this is again like this song doesn't have a chorus. He just like goes like big takeover,
repeats like, the line
that's it, like no chorus, but it's, you know,
just, all the meat is in the verses where they're talking about, you know, racism and hate and how these things are our country's undoing. You know, they're worried that there's no hope, but I thought these guys were PMA. You know, I feel like this is the one song where they falter a little bit in their PMA. They're like, oh, you know, there's just so much going on, there's so many terrible things happening.
Well, maybe that's why they changed the track listing to start with it.
Maybe.
They're like, hey, we'll start with this one, and then we'll go into the PMA after.
I think you're onto something. One interesting thing of note on this song is John Frusciante from the Red Hot Chili Peppers covered this song on his 1994 solo album, and he does an acoustic version of it. Have you ever heard it?
I have.
Yeah.
I have.
I'm not sure it works, but
I have some friends that like that band.
Not you.
No.
All right, let's take a look at I and I Survive. And I know I've said this a lot, Justin, but I love this song. It's the reason why this album is a favorite of mine. I love all these songs, but I just think, again, a great, great reggae tune. I just love this one.
Yeah, it's sick. It's got like classic reggae, but he's also doing like some galloping guitars. This one has the keys in the background.
I think that's what those are. Yeah.
Yeah, and then but it's got a distorted guitar solo.
Again, adding those things that are not typical for reggae music and pulling it off, I think, expertly. I mean, distorted guitar has been in reggae before. I'm not naive.
Yeah.
But like, you know, they just make it sound great.
And the song's like over 5 minutes.
It's a long song. But I like it. It's got a good groove. I love the message here, just, you know, questioning the motives of evil people. Why steal? Why kill? There are so many terrible things that happen in this world, and it doesn't make any sense. you know, what drives people to be so nasty, you know? Is it fear? Oh, yeah. Is it jealousy? Is it, you know, I don't know, a room temperature IQ? I have no idea. I just feel like now, especially more than ever, people just are so angry all the time. Destroy Babylon is next. The word Babylon today is a symbol of a wicked city. It represents the persecution and darkness in the world. Here, the band ripped through a speedy call for action to organize and centralize against these evils. They sing, "We must destroy this evil, this Babylon, and that's the only way." And then they yell, "Destroy Babylon!" And it definitely makes for another rad crowd song.
Yeah, and the riff under that chant is it's pretty sick too. That's kind of metal.
Yeah. It's so heavy.
Yeah, this song is probably like one of the toughest songs on the record. Just another blazing solo at the end.
Yeah, Dr. No takes another jazzy solo for this one. And it's just like so much cool stuff going on in there. Maybe even a little disco. I don't know. It's like, this is a song that I think if I got a chance to see Bad Brains play in their heyday, I would have loved to have seen them play this song.
Is it on that 82 DVD?
If it is, I've forgotten because I do not recall. I mean, I'm sure you could find a video of them playing this, but being there, like in the crowd and like, I don't know, when they go to that chant part, I just think that'd be a lot of fun to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I bought a bunch of like bootlegs growing up, like VHSs and stuff like that. This guy at this one local record store, like you could ask him for any band and he'd be like, "Yeah, I got something for you." Yeah. I'd be like, "Oh, do you have like old Bad Brains videos? Because like I've, you know, never seen them before." And he's like, "Yeah, I'll put something together for you."
Your dealer, your video dealer.
Yeah, there was another guy at the flea market too that had sick videos. That's like all these videos that I see on YouTube now. I'm like, I had those on VHS growing up.
Well, remember like the mid 90s, like bootlegs just exploded. There was bootlegs everywhere before they cracked out on it. But
yeah, that's exactly what it was.
I had a lot of Bad Religion bootlegs and stuff.
Yeah, and they all just got like, they were so pixelated because they were recorded like over so many times.
The tracking is just terrible.
Definitely, I had that Bad Religion one where they play in Germany and the guys from Biohazard are singing nice. On "We're Only Gonna Die." I think that's how it starts.
Yeah. The next song is the album track "Rock for Light." We don't want war. We don't want no violence. We just want what's right. And like you've been talking about structures, it's basically a verse, a double chorus, a solo, and then a second part of the chorus. And that's it.
Yeah, the intro's cool. I think the end of the cassette starts, right, with the intro of "Rock for Light," and it just ends.
I think so. I can't remember now.
Yeah, that's how the cassette ends. It starts with the intro of "Rock for Light" and like fades out, and that's that. And then like the next record was "Rock for Light."
Okay.
One of the more melodic songs on the record. Like it's got a good vocal melody.
Yeah, definitely a focus on melody in this one.
And definitely like when I was like getting into them, like I was into more melodic stuff, so like you'd hear stuff like this and it was like more ear candy. You know, you're like, "Oh yeah."
Yeah, you'd be surprised at like these guys playing in basements and having these shows that were like, you know, wild and crazy would have such an ear for melody. But this band in particular, Bad Brains, just kind of really proved all that wrong. Like they were writing these great songs. Some of them were very melodic. They had these great reggae tunes. They had incredible guitar solos and drumming. So it's like, wow, this is really the full package.
100%.
Let's close it down with a look at the movies. A HR sings this song so fast, I could never even begin to decipher what he was saying. I never knew the words to this one ever.
I did cover this one.
You did?
Yeah. I played guitar and sang it.
This song?
Wow. Yeah. It was nuts.
Well, you can get up there. I've heard your backing vocals on the next Scars records.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah. Especially when I was younger too. I could probably even go higher, but yeah, this is exactly what I was talking about earlier. Like I had to learn it at the higher key. And, this probably one of my favorites.
Yeah. It's a great way to end the record.
Again, like those slicing out bar chords where it's like that ding, 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 like the ding. Another blazing solo, of course.
Yeah, the solo in this one's awesome. This song encouraged listeners to dismantle the fantasies Americans hid themselves inside. Doesn't matter what they say, never give in, never give in. And that's it. That's the record. Closes it out. Finished. So typically at this point, I look at the art with a guest, but for this record, there's really not much to the artwork. It's just yellow with the band name and the album title in like a sort of like a cursive, you know, font.
The photo on the back is probably like,
yeah, it's a cool picture.
Like Daryl's just basically covered in smoke.
Like, I remember all their friends, all their, you know, their, like, you know, the guys in Teen Idols and, you know, Rollins and all those guys, Mackay, they were like, you know, when the Bad Brains came back with all these reggae influences, they were like, who are these guys?
Yeah. There's some good documentaries out there. You know, where they talk about a lot of that stuff, like American Hardcore. And and then there's the documentary, A Band in DC. I don't know if you've seen that one.
I've seen that one. Yep.
And then there's a new one on Just HR.
Finding HR, I think it's
called. Yeah.
Or Searching for HR, something like that. That one's really good. I like that one.
Yeah, they're all good. But I think it might have been American Hardcore where, like, you know, Mackay is talking about it. He's like, you know, like when the Straight Edge thing like blew up, like HR was just like, oh yeah, man, like these kids, they're saying all this stuff. You got to go out there and you got to set them straight. You got to tell them what this is about. Like they were almost like coming out the Bad Brains because they were like fucking smoking weed and shit.
Yeah. What about you guys?
So on the remaster, there were three songs that weren't on the original. There was Super Touch.
Yeah. Which was on Black Dots.
Yep. And and it's on the tape. I love that song. That song's sick. Which was also on the cassette. And then there's just like this reggae outro.
It's like an instrumental, right?
Yep. Yep. Yeah. It's called Jam.
Yeah.
But I was kind of bummed that I wasn't on the original. That's like I remember that was one of the songs I was really into.
Yeah, that would have been a good inclusion. I don't know why they maybe they had to cut for time and that was just one. And
then
when
they
remastered, they're like, we got to put this back on, it's so good. I don't know. In closing, according to writer Aaron Gilbreth, Bad Brains' racial composition and essential hybridity challenged racial stereotypes and America's idea that riff-heavy rock was white music. But Bad Brains' memorable songs proved otherwise. Their scorching performances garnered instant respect and the envy of fellow musicians. People watched and wondered how anyone, black or white, could play that fast and that precisely. Most first-wave punk bands were sloppy or limited and prided themselves on it, right? In a very white punk world, black punks had to carve their own space. And Bad Brains certainly did that, I feel like, and then some. This is a record that I've loved for a long time. It's like, you know, the band you aspire to be energy-wise. Like, oh, I wish I could be that nuts on stage and like have that much energy. But like, you know, you never could reach that level that Bad Brains achieved.
I think we've said it a million times, but yeah, it really is the full package. It's super fast. It's got great melodies, the best breakdowns, the best solos, best vocalist. The only thing I wish you could probably hear more on this record would be the bass.
Yeah.
But
I actually had that in my notes and I didn't. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I wish the bass shined a little more, but I mean, the rhythm in general probably was driving it anyway between like the drummer and the bassist, where, you know, like there's no way like Doc would have played those riffs the way he did unless he had that bass underneath it. Mm-hmm. And they're just the full package. Everybody in the band just is ruling the entire time, and they don't write your typical verse, chorus, verse, and nothing about this record is typical. They literally just took punk rock to the next level, and that's why they're fucking legends.
Well, Justin, I would like to thank you so much for hanging out with me tonight and talking about this record. It was a lot of fun going through these songs with you.
Oh yeah, man. It was a lot of fun.
I would like to thank Krista Makes from Less Than Jake for the theme music. I would like to thank all the various sources and documentaries and YouTube videos that I referenced prepping for this episode. Too many to name here. And of course, I would like to thank all of you for tuning into Talking Records. It is so much fun to dive into these records that we love, these records that we've been listening to for years and trying to cover with our various bands. It's fun to reconnect or connect with new friends, to chat about these songs, you know, try to gather up all the information that we can on these records and put it in one place. You get everything. You don't have to scour the internet and find old interviews and watch old YouTube videos. You can just get it all here, Talking Records. So, you know, tell a friend, tell two friends about us. Check us out on the socials. Make sure you say hello, suggest albums, tell us your stories. How did you get into Bad Brains? How did you find Rock for Light? All right, Justin, anything, any last things?
Thanks for listening, guys. If you're listening, and if you don't listen to Bad Brains, no, you listen to Bad Brains. That's where you're listening to this. I don't know. Do what Jed said. Go back and listen to your favorite band's influences. That's when you discover the good stuff.